Good morning, church. It is good to see everyone here on this beautiful fall morning. Especially glad to see all our guests. We thank you for choosing to come and worship with us here today. We pray that you'll be blessed, and it is our hope that you will feel at home here with us this morning. This morning is not only the day before Halloween, but it is also Reformation Sunday. Historians date the start of the Reformation to the 1517 publication of Martin Luther's 95 Theses. He nailed his theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany on October 31st, of 1517. And the purpose was to clean up the church, to purify the tradition. And a major emphasis was the belief that the Bible and not tradition was and should be the sole source of our spiritual authority. Now, when Martin Luther put these 95 theses forward, and when I say theses, understand what this was. It was a thesis is a proposal for discussion. And he put these forward to criticize the doctrine of indulgences. And when he did that, his intent was not to start a new branch of Christianity. His goal was simply to reform the church, to get the church to return to Scripture, to return to a focus on Scripture. But his action inevitably was a spark that would start a great fire of discontent and rebellion across Europe. Now, one aspect of the Reformation was the conviction that every believer could read and understand the Bible for themselves. And Martin Luther held there was strong affirmation that the biblical text was the ultimate authority for scriptural matters. The biblical text was more authoritative than any church tradition, any leader. And in fact, Sola Scriptura insisted that the Bible is the only authority for Christians in matters of our faith, life, how we conduct our lives. Now, this term Sola Scriptura is Latin, and it simply means by Scripture alone. And this is a Christian doctrine which teaches us that Scripture is the supreme authority in any matter. In any matter of doctrine, any matter of practice, it is the one and only authority. So you might ask, who was this Luther? Well, he was a pastor and also a professor at the University of Wittenberg. And he had become very upset, very disenchanted with the church's combining of God's free gift of grace. And they were combined with this system of indulgences, the system of good works. And so he wrote his 95 Theses and attacked this idea of indulgences and the whole system of works. Now, you may say, what are you talking about, this idea of indulgences? Well, back in that time, the church taught the doctrine of purgatory. And what purgatory was kind of halfway station between heaven and hell. And the church was teaching that people went there and the family or friends would have to purchase indulgences. The church was selling these so that the loved ones could be freed from purgatory and then be able to move on to heaven. And so as Luther studied the scriptures for himself, as he searched diligently in the scriptures, he couldn't find anything to reinforces this idea. He became convinced that this practice was unbiblical. What's interesting, even those who opposed him agreed that purgatory, indulgences, it wasn't found in Scripture. They agreed with him on that. But because it was a tradition of the church, and they held to the concept that tradition was just as important, that tradition was equal to the Scriptures, and since church tradition said that this was true, then in fact it must be true. And so Luther challenges by coming to the conclusion that Scripture was the authority and it stood in judgment over any church tradition. Now, on April 1521, Luther was given the option to renounce his views or he would be excommunicated by the church. And let me read his response. Luther said, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound to the Scriptures I have quoted and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not retract anything. Since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience, I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me." So this morning, on Reformation Sunday, we want to look at this doctrine of sola scriptura, or simply Scripture alone. Now, just as this cry of sola scriptura was at the forefront of the Reformation, it should also be our cry today. And it's because the Bible is inerrant, it's infallible, it is absolutely complete, and it is authoritative. The Bible is all we need to understand God's purpose for our lives and how we are to live. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, he tells us all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Stop and let's stop and reflect on this. God breathed. What does that mean? God breathed, it means it comes literally from God's mouth, from his very lips to us. God gives us Scripture. He speaks to us. You ever hear somebody say something along these lines? Something like, "Oh, if I could just hear from God," or "I need a word from God. I need him to talk to me. I need him to reveal something to me. Why is he not answering me?" Here's the deal. Pick up the book. Pick up the book. God speaks to us through his written word. He's given us what we need to guide, to lead, and direct our lives. And we can hear from him anytime, anywhere. Isn't that good news? The God who holds all things in his hands, the God who created us, we can hear from him anywhere, anytime, if we simply open up his book. And it doesn't have to be Sunday morning, sitting in a pew and waiting for someone to stand before you to share from the book. We're to do it in our homes. We're to do it with our families. And we're to meditate on it. Now, there are many lies in society that try to discredit the Bible. And here are just a few. Some would say, "Well, the Bible is written by man." Yes, it was. By hand chosen men full of the Holy Spirit and directed by the Holy Spirit to write God's word. They would say there are errors in the Bible. Show me one. And others would also say something along the lines of, "Well, it's just another history book." But here's what the Bible says in Psalm 18, 30 and 31. It says, "This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" My friends, we must choose to have faith in God's word as the only authority that guides us. Because it tells us, trusting the word of the Lord proves true. We can trust in it. We can put our faith in it. But understand this, society will test that faith in this. You know, one of the greatest lies that continues to be perpetuated, a lie that continues to grow and it's spread in our very schools, is that of evolution. And evolution is simply a lie that tries to discredit Scripture. It tells us that man, everything else, comes from nothing. That by some cosmic accident, the world was formed. That we somehow have land and seas and gravity and perfect temperature for us to exist. And that somehow we as people came from animals. Wow. And they say we have a lot of faith. But I want you to understand this. Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11 is as true as John 3:16 or any other New Testament scripture. If we put our faith and trust in the testimony about Jesus Christ, that word is just as true as the creation account. Because here's the deal. If the beginning of the Bible is untrue, then how can we place our faith and trust in any other parts of the Bible? It would raise question as to their truth. But I want to tell you, we can absolutely believe the Bible to be true because it is cohesive. Jesus himself talked about Adam and Eve. Listen to his words in Matthew 19:4. He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" We see Jesus also later in the book of Luke. He talks about Noah and the flood. Luke 17, verses 26 and 27 says this, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Understand, this is not just a kid's story. It is absolute truth. It happened. Jesus himself pointed to it as a teaching example in his ministry. Also in Luke, we see the genealogy of Jesus. If evolution is true, then the Bible is false because it states in Luke 3, verses 23-38, it tells us that in the beginning the Creator made man, and then Luke then reminds us that the man's name is Adam and traces the genealogy of Jesus directly to him. Hebrews 11:3 tells us this. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." My friends, Genesis records the story of creation, and the rest of the Bible supports it. The rest of the Bible affirms it, and it is trustworthy, and we are to put our faith in this book. So you may ask, so why are we to declare the Bible is the only authority? I get it. It's true. We can trust it. It is faithful. But why is that the only authority by which we should live? I'll tell you something. It's because it tells us to. 2 Samuel 22:31 says this, "This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him." Similarly, in Psalm 19:7-8, "The law of the word is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Both these scriptures tells us what about the law of the Lord? It is perfect. God's word is perfect. Can you add to perfection? No, we cannot. We need to trust solely in the Word of God and the perfection of it. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, "I tell you the truth." He says, "I tell you the truth" over 30 times in this book. He's emphasizing people, don't listen to false teachers. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to society. Listen to this Word. It is true. Don't deviate from it. Our society, especially the church, especially God's people, we need to regain our focus on God's word. Our nation needs to return to the words that are printed on our very currency, "In God we trust." And we need to trust in his word. What is our job, church? We are to be light. We are to be light in this darkened world. But unfortunately, too many within the church now look more like the world than they do like Christ. There is depression, marriages falling apart, children that are disrespectful and falling away from the church, and many people are empty because the world cannot fulfill them. And we ask, why does the church today look more like the world? It's because we have forgotten what the Lord said would fulfill us. Matthew 4:4 tells us this. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We must return to studying, knowing, and following God's word. I want you to listen to these words in Jeremiah. And as I read these, think how applicable they are to us today. Just as when they were written back then, Jeremiah 7 verse 28 says this, and you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. Likewise, Daniel. Daniel could be writing this today. Daniel 9:13 says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. Yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by truth. Does that sound like society today? Do we have calamity around us? What's the news? There is so much strife and turmoil in this world. And people are turning their backs on God. We have uninvited him from schools, from our government buildings, from other places. We need to turn from our wicked ways, return to the Lord. And we do that through, as the scripture says here, gaining insight by his truth. It is time for us to turn back to the Word of God as that one source of truth. Psalm 119:30 says this, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. We have to know the Word. We have to say the Word. Listen, Satan is a liar. He is in the world. And there is false teaching. There are false disciples. There's false preaching in churches. It is sad. But we can look at false doctrine like the prosperity gospel. They're not teaching a true gospel of Christ, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for our forgiveness of our sins. They don't focus on the gospel of Christ. And so we need to know God's word to be able to discern false teaching. I would say this, don't believe everything I say. Prove it for yourselves. You need to be staying in the word. I'm not perfect. I'm not fallible. One of the greatest things one of my mentors taught me, and I would say that he was probably the best Bible teacher I've ever heard. And I saw him labor in the Word. I knew his heart for the Word and his desire to get it right. But he told me, don't take my word for it. Prove it for yourself. Prove it for yourself. And I encourage you, church family, do the same. Listen to John 18, verses 36 and 37. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Jesus came to serve. Scripture tells us he came to serve, not to be served. Jesus came to live as a man, to live a sinless life, so he'd be the perfect sacrifice, to die for our sins. But he also came to bear witness to the truth. The whole Old Testament points to the person of Jesus. People, we need to be in the Word. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Similarly, in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, tells us, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." People, we are to be in the Word every day. Every day. Saying God's Word, it's not just a Sunday thing. On our own, we should be challenged by the Word, reading his Word, meditating on it. And when I say meditate, that means to contemplate the meaning, to dig into it, to dwell on it. And then as we gain comprehension into the meaning, then we bring application to our lives. And for us, if we would dwell on this phrase, he meditates day and night, we should ask ourselves, am I in the Word day and night? Do I concentrate upon God's Word on a daily basis? Let me tell you something. If you answer no to that, you need to change. You know, last week I brought a message on self-examination. We talked about doing a little spiritual checkup. And this is a great area that we need to look at ourselves, a time of self-examination. And if we find we're lacking, we need to correct that. It's about holding ourselves accountable. It's about being intentional in our walk with Christ. We see here in Psalm, God has specifically told us, "Blessed is the man." Understand, this is an area that God wants us to focus on. He requires us to be meditating upon his Word daily. You know, if we eat every day to nourish ourselves so that our physical body will function properly, how can we expect our spiritual self to function if we don't likewise give it the nourishment it needs? We need to be feeding on the Word of God daily so that it will nourish us, strengthen us, help us to grow and to mature and to be able to function as he desires us to. If we are fully trusting in the Word, then we need to move away from opinions. Let me tell you something. My opinion is no better than anybody else here. But that's not what I'm called to do. I'm not called to give you my opinion. I'm called to bring this Word to light, to share it in a way that it brings understanding and comprehension and allows you to take it and to apply it in your lives. And so we must turn to the Scriptures and turn to the Scriptures as the authority to guide us in our lives. As we teach each other, we should use Scripture and be able to show people specific verses so that we put the authority back where it belongs. The authority must come from God's Word as we seek to be obedient in our lives and in our service to Christ. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 4:6. He says, "I've applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another." later on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." People, we must return to God by submitting to his word as the only authority that will govern us. As individuals, as families, we must make this a literal mission statement. Scripture alone should be what governs us. We must begin to read it daily. Why? Because God expects that of us. And as we read it and study it and learn it, we then apply the truths that we learn to our lives, so in order to bring glory to the one who created us. Let me real quickly circle back to that first text that we looked at in 2 Timothy. Again, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture breathed out by God. God has spoken this to us. And he's given it to us. Why? What does it say? All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This verse affirms that all Scripture, not some, not part of it, not the stuff we like, we don't get to pick and choose. All Scripture is useful, is profitable. And if it is useful, how often are we using it? How often are we using it? Here we're told we are to use the Scriptures to teach, rebuke, correct, train. Are we fulfilling this expectation God's Word gives us? Parents, let me ask you this. When you teach your children, do not commands, simple rules to obey, something like do not steal, do you take your child and show them that verse from God's Word? Scriptures are the authority, and when we use them as God's Word says we should, we put all authority back where it belongs. No longer because I said so. It is because God says so. And as Christians, we are to be people of the Word, meaning that we allow Scripture to guide us throughout our lives. And I love what it says at the end of that verse. It tells us if we will use the Scriptures like we are told, we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let me challenge us. Let's be a people of the book. Let our cry be sola scriptura, and may we meditate on his word day and night. Let's pray.